Our scripture reading this morning is 2 Timothy 4. I thank you very much for the summer sabbatical. I was able to get a lot of good and necessary things done. Some things will have to wait until retirement, but I got a lot of good things done, and I'm relieved from pounds and pounds of paperwork, and that is a great relief. I thank our elders for preaching so well over the summer. It was a joy and a benefit to sit under their preaching as well as with Pastor Shep. As we sang at the end of Psalm 119, I'll run the way of your commands. And we're going to be meditating on that imagery today of running. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. When you get to the end of it, that's the last you hear from Paul. He knows that he's on the home stretch. He's turned that last corner, and he sees the goal in front of him, and he knows that the end is near. And this is what he has to say as he faces that end that is sad in some ways, but very joyful in others. Hear then God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Paul starts with grace and he ends with grace. Let's pray. Father, we are no more able to hear your word than the prophets were able to speak it without your Spirit. And so we pray that you would grant us the working of your Holy Spirit to open our ears and our minds and our hearts to receive this word which you bring to us all today. Convict us of sin and turn us from it. Enlarge our heart for righteousness and direct our steps speedily toward it. Apply all the benefits that Jesus has won for us that we may enjoy them now and day by day more and more. And so we pray, may your Holy Spirit speak to us in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What does a relay runner do when he is finishing his leg of the race, rounds the last bend, and comes into the home stretch to deliver the baton to the next runner? Does he stop and say, wait a minute, I enjoy running. I don't want my course to be over. I think I'll just amble down the home stretch and enjoy the remaining distance. Of course not. He sees the next runner anxiously waiting and gathers all his remaining strength for a powerful kick, a strong finish, and a clean handoff. The next runner starts running before the previous runner stops, and the handoff must be made within a limited distance. You should see some applications in that image. I am entering the home stretch of my pastoral ministry in the coming 2 years. The next pastor, whoever he is, will be waiting for me to hand off the ministry to him with great momentum and power. I plan to do that, and I urge you to do the same with me. Put off any distraction, indulgence, and sluggishness, and put on Christ's focus, discipline, and power. Consider laying aside even legitimate enterprises for this time, in order to invest more fully in the health and growth of our congregation. Act now so that you will be able to say with Paul, for this leg of the relay, I have finished the course. Now, you will say to me, you are finishing your course, but I'm going to have to keep running after you pass the baton to our new pastor. Well, I say to you first, don't ruin a perfectly good illustration with unnecessary complications. But second, it is by finishing strong and well with your old pastor that you will be better able to begin strong and well with your new pastor. If you're distracted, dissipated, fat, and slow now, you will be distracted, dissipated, fat, and slow then. If you are focused, committed, sleek, and fast now, you will be focused, committed, sleek, and fast then. Let's meditate on this imagery of running in the Bible. We sang from Psalm 119, I will run in the way of your commands. Obedience isn't a walk in the park. Obedience is a race that requires focus and discipline. And that's what we're called to in the Christian life. It isn't a drudgery. In the Song of Solomon, the lovers run together. It is something that we desire to do. We long to achieve the goal. We long to break the tape. We are motivated by the Holy Spirit to run in the way of God's commands, not amble in them, not wander here and there, but run in the course of obedience to God. Throughout the Gospels, we see people running to Jesus. And that's basically what we're called to do. We're called to run to Jesus. Not away from him, but to run to him in faith and faithfulness. Abraham ran to welcome his three guests. Samuel ran to Eli saying, here I am, for you called me. And each of us in Christ are called to Jesus, called to come to him and to run to him with purpose and focus. In the parable of the prodigal son, the father, when he saw his son, ran to him. He didn't wait for his son to come to him. He didn't slowly poke his way down to his son. But for love to embrace his son, he ran to him. And we, for love to Jesus, should run to him with all our might in obedience. Philip ran to the Ethiopian eunuch to proclaim the gospel to him. And there are a few other passages that we'll be considering in more depth. First, the idea of running to finish the course. So Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, I've fought the good fight, I have finished the course. And he isn't stumbling down to the finish line. You can tell from 2 Timothy 4 that Paul is purposeful, he's resolved, and he's more intent than ever on finishing strong and finishing well. We'll be singing from Psalm 84 in a bit. Psalm 84, verse 7, they go from strength to strength, and every of them appears before God in Zion. They are accelerating. They're not slowing down at the end of the race. They're running uphill to Jerusalem. They're running uphill into the heavenly places with a stronger and stronger stride and an accelerated pace. We have these images and we are called to finish strong every leg of the race and the race as a whole. Both of our girls ran cross country, and when they ran in Auburn, they have this long cross country course through the woods, which is usual. But at the end, they came to this back-breaking hill that they had to run up before they entered the chute for the end of the race. And that's where Paul was. And in some ways, that's where we are, and at the end of this season, at the end of our lives. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder. But God provides greater strength for the greater need. We are to run from strength to strength. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul says, and here he is completing his leg with the Ephesians. This is not the end of, as it is in 2 Timothy 4, but this is the end of a particular season, and this is how he speaks of it. I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. He's focused. He's not distracted or dissipated. So that I may finish my course. That is his single objective, is to strive and run to Jesus until he arrives. To finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly. Earlier in Acts chapter 13, we have some similar pictures. He's speaking about John the Baptist in Paul again in Acts 13, 25. When John was completing his course, he kept saying, everyone is seen as running a race. In some ways, we run the race together. In some ways, we each have our lane in which we are assigned to run. But we are all called to run with purpose. Similarly with David later on in Acts 13. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. Similar idea that when David had finished his course, we are all given a course to run. And we need to stay on track or get back on track. And we need to run it with focus. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. We're not out merely for exercise. We're running the race of faith and faithfulness to win, to persevere to the end, and to arrive at Jesus. In Galatians 5, he says to the Galatians, You were running well. Who dissuaded you? You were running well to Jesus, but someone distracted you, like Pilgrim in Vanity Fair. Someone distracted you, got you off course, and wandering in the wilderness instead of running the race to Jesus, you're pursuing other things. So how are we to run this race? It's no surprise. They're all very familiar things. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm trying to get you focused on the simple old central things, that you would devote yourself to them and not be distracted or weighed down so that you run poorly or don't even finish the race. And if you don't finish the race, it doesn't matter if you started it. It doesn't matter how well you did in the middle of it. What matters is finishing well. But of course, you can't finish well unless you start it. You can't finish well unless you run well in the middle. But it's the goal. It's breaking the tape. And Paul, with finishing his course, persevering in the preaching. He's been preaching all along. The issue is to persevere, to run in that same work, including instruction and correction, to avoid the distraction of preaching what people want to hear and persevere in preaching what people need to hear. Not what you have to say to them, but what God has to say to them, even if they don't want to hear it. He speaks about endurance to the end, and you can tell from the latter part of 2 Timothy 4, it isn't easy. He's not running downhill, he's running uphill, but God is providing strength that he can run from strength to strength. Jesus says, it is the one who endures to the end who will be saved. It is the one who runs and finishes that will be saved. Not just the one who runs, but the one who runs to the end. It's a broad responsibility. Fulfill your ministry in 2 Timothy 4:5. Fulfill your ministry, including evangelism, which always leads to discipleship. It is simply the gospel that he is running in. The good news of Jesus Christ, of the forgiveness of our sins, and the saving, life-giving gift of his righteousness. The service, as he indicates in 2 Corinthians 10, includes running in your lane. There were people in Corinth who were running in Paul's lane instead of their own lane. And if you've ever run in a race, somebody gets in your lane, it makes it difficult to run. And Paul is saying to people who regarded themselves as super apostles, stay in your lane. In many ways, we're running the same race, but we all have our distinct lanes that God is calling you to run. I'm not asking you to run my race. I'm asking you to run your race with me. And in verse 8, there's the whole point of it. You break the tape, in the future that is laid up for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will provide for me. So the first thing about running is to finish the course and finish it strong. The second passage is Hebrews chapter 12. This also, of course, is familiar. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured, ran with endurance the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The first thing to notice from this passage is that the only people who are spectators in the race are dead. You're not called to watch me finish the race and critique my poor form and mock my two lead feet. I don't run particularly well in the literal sense. But you're not called to watch me finish these next 2 years and critique my performance. You're called to run. No spectators in the Christian life. Everyone is to get on the track and run their race in their lane. When you lay down your cleats, then you can watch. Then you will watch. But not until then. Running well until the end. So two things are involved. Put off the drag of your sin and foolishness. We are to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin. So lay aside sin, which weighs you down so that you can't run, and other encumbrances of foolishness and distraction that takes you away from the race that you've been assigned to run. If you are going to finish strong, if you're going to finish at all, you have to put off the weights that are weighing you down, the weight of sin and foolishness and distraction. 2 Timothy 3:6, Paul indicates what this weight is. He speaks of those who are weighed down with sins led on by various impulses. They're weighed down with sin so they can't run. They have various impulses that takes them out of their lane or off the track entirely. And if you will run well, if you will finish it all, you must put aside your sin. Can you imagine somebody running a marathon with 20-pound weights on each ankle and on their shoulders? It's going to be difficult to run. And so we're back to the very familiar exhortation in Colossians 3:9. You have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Lay aside everything that impedes your strong running and strong finish. Things like immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech. Take the Ten Commandments. Every violation slows you down and may stop you dead in your tracks. Unload all that stuff so that you can run and run well. 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul again speaks of running, says every athlete exercises self-control. What is that? The self-control that puts away distractions. If you're going to be excellent at anything, athletics or music or your studies, you're going to have to put aside distractions, like spending a lot of time on Facebook or spending a lot of time with television or other things. If you're going to do anything well, you have to devote yourself to it. And that includes the Christian life. And you have to put aside the things that distract you from obedience. But then there's the positive side. Lay aside every encumbrance, the sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We put aside our sin and foolishness, and we put on a single-minded focus on Jesus and his righteousness. That's what motivates us to run well, is Jesus. We're not called to rely on our own strength. We're called to look to Jesus for everything that we need to run well. Jesus is like a magnet, and we're like iron filings, and he is drawing us to himself. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, not only is our load lightened by casting off sin and foolishness, but he lifts us up with his righteousness and wisdom and draws us to himself so that the running is easy. Put off the drag of your sin and foolishness and put on the lift of Christ's righteousness and wisdom. Again, the familiar imagery of putting on in Colossians 3. You put on the new self who is being renewed in the image of the one who created him. You put on the new self who is in Christ. And in that connection with Christ, he is drawing us and making our running easy. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. These are the virtues that we have by faith in Christ that enable us to run well and to run freely with strength and speed. So finish the course that you know very well and get the right gear. Put off the weight of your sin and foolishness and fix your eyes on Jesus and the lift of his righteousness and wisdom. The third passage is Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 14. He speaks about considering all things as loss in view of the surpassing knowledge, value of knowing Christ. So he's unloading everything and running to Jesus. And then verse 12, he says, it's not that I have already obtained it. He hasn't arrived or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of. Jesus laid hold on us so that by his grace we would lay hold on him. Jesus calls us to run the race, lightens our load, lifts us up in order that we would lay our hands on him. Just like so many people did in his earthly ministry. If I just touch the edge of his garment, that's what we're looking to do. We are running to Jesus to grasp him and enjoy the fullness of salvation. He continues verse 13. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Sin off, righteousness on. Forgetting both his achievements as a Pharisee and his grievous sin as a persecutor, forgetting the good things that are past and the bad things are past because they're past, and looking forward to what we yet need to do in obedience to Christ. And for me, the race is almost over. And for many of you, the race is not that much longer. And even the youngest of you have limited time and opportunity to run the race. I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He rejects all distractions. He exercises self-control. In the first part of verse 13, he speaks about reaching forward. And this reaching forward is the stretching and the straining of every fiber of your being to achieve the goal of conformity to Christ. You see, runners, when they come to the tape, they do everything they can to get their chest out so they're the first one leaning into the tape. They aren't walking down the lane and just, oh, there's a tape there, and they get a scissors and cut it. They are completely consumed with the goal of breaking that tape, and they strain everything. They're not distracted. They're not looking at the delicious hot dogs in the hot dog stand. They're not looking at the pretty girls on the 4x100 girls relay. They're looking at Jesus. And that's how we need to run our race. And 14, I press on. The imagery here is pressing and pursuing, and even the word is sometimes used for persecuting. That's the level of intensity on getting there. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul uses another coordinated idea, 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes in the games. The Greek word for competing is agonizo, agony. No pain, no gain. It's as true in the Christian life as in anything else. And to cut off our sin is painful. To repent of your indulgences and distraction and undiscipline is painful. To put on truth and righteousness is painful. The Christian life is not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. It is turning from death to life. It is agony. And if you're not suffering some pain in the Christian life, you're not living the Christian life. How do you know that you're living? You're in pain.
That's how you know. And how do you know that you're living the Christian life? You're in pain. Jesus says if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. That's going to hurt. That's going to leave a mark.
Philippians 3:14 has a complex of ideas that are difficult to separate out because they're meant to go together. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's the goal? What's the call? What's the goal? What's the prize? The upward call is running up to Mount Zion. It's the upward call because that's where Jesus is. It is the path from here to Christ. Turning from sin, running to Christ. Leaving death, running to life. That's the upward call in Christ. The goal is Christ himself, Hebrews chapter 12. Set your eyes on Jesus. And there's a wonderful example, even in Christ himself, in Hebrews 12, who, for the joy set before him, ran his race. When was the joy set before Christ? I suggest to you that it was in the Transfiguration. At the Transfiguration, Jesus basically finished his persuading the disciples that he is the Messiah. Now he's going to do the work of the Messiah, which is his suffering and death. And he is on the way to Jerusalem to unspeakable suffering that we can't fathom. And he needed, as a human being, the encouragement to persevere to the end. And so the Father gave him a glimpse and a taste of his glory. He was transfigured in the glory that he was promised and given a taste of what was to come. And for that joy, he endured the cross and entered the fullness of that taste. We have the same thing. For the joy set before us, the joy of being with Christ, of enjoying his perfect righteousness, of experiencing complete freedom from sin. We have a taste of those things now. But that is the joy set before us. And the goal is to get to Jesus. And the prize is to be with Jesus. Jesus fixed his eyes on the Father, ran in obedience to the Father, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus, run to Jesus in repentance and faith, so that we may have Jesus and his righteousness and eternal life. Finish well. Finish well this leg of the race and your whole race. But how can you finish well? You will finish well by devoting yourself completely to the basics. It's nothing new. It's nothing extravagant. It isn't a secret. You don't need to go to the Christian bookstore and read a book about how to run the race because you know it all. But what you need to do is commit yourself to do it. By grace and through faith in Christ, put off the encumbrances of your sin, foolishness, and distraction, and put on the power of Christ's righteousness, wisdom, and focus. In this way, you will run with endurance the race set before you, and you will finish this leg of the relay in the next 2 years with power. Devote yourself to the means of grace for the fruit of the Spirit, including keeping the Lord's Day, in which these means are primarily found, remembering that there is morning and there is evening each Lord's Day.
If evening fellowship is not worth your time and trouble, tell me what you need or want so that you will come, and I will do the best I can to provide that for you. Give the Lord the time of day, that is the time of his day. Give him the whole day for worship as much as possible, for mercy as much as opportune, and for necessities as limited as possible. You know these things. Blessed are you if you do them. Devote yourself to the word by participating in every opportunity to hear the word read, taught, and preached. Devote yourself to the word in private and family worship. If you've never developed these godly disciplines or have fallen away from them, now is the time to rebuild the ancient ruins, renew your efforts, and do what Ezra did. Ezra set his heart to study, practice, and teach the word of God in his sphere of calling, his household. Devote yourself to the sacraments by purposefully participating at every opportunity, seeking Christ, not going through the motions, but seeking Christ by this means to deliver you from your sins, to lead you in his righteousness so that you will run in his freedom and power. Devote yourself to prayer, morning, noon, and night, in private and in public, including Lord's Day evening fellowship and monthly prayer meetings. Strengthen your prayers with fastings, alms, and even promissory oaths in order that your desires would be sanctified and your sanctified requests would be granted. Devote yourself to fellowship. Practice hospitality in any and every way you can. Don't grieve over what you can't do. Rejoice in doing what you can. Give generously of your time, talent, and treasure, according to the abundant measure of each that the Lord has given you. Give what you have that others need, and humbly accept what you need that others have. Tithe your gross income to support gospel laborers, including missionaries. Give offerings to provide for the necessary and good things the church needs, and to provide for the things you rightly want the church to have use of. Give alms to relieve the pressing needs of those within the orbit of the congregation's personal ministries. Devote yourself to making disciples. Make contact with new people. Lead them to Christ and lead them in Christ. Stay in your lane. Use your gifts. Fulfill your calling, not those of anyone else. You know all these things. You do all these things. But it's very easy to get distracted, bogged down from these things, and to just limp along in the race. Will you commit yourself anew today to do these things with all of your mind and all of your heart and all of your strength? The blessing is in the making and keeping of a commitment to do these things. I'm not asking you to commit to anything more than I am committing myself to. But of infinitely greater importance, I am not asking myself or you to do anything other than what God commands us in his word. These things are not optional. They are the command of the living God. When we take the Lord's Supper today, we are committing ourselves to do these things, and we are looking to Jesus to enable us to keep these commitments and finish the leg of the race with power. Even this is nothing more than we do every time we participate in the Lord's Supper. And by God's grace through it, we will run well for many days in the strength of this spiritual food. So examine yourself. Where you are running well, seek Christ's renewing strength to endure and to run even stronger. Where you have slowed down or stopped because of the weight of your sin or foolishness or distraction, or you have wandered off because of the distractions of your vain pursuits, seek Christ's redemption to set you free from these things so that you will run freely. Act now so that you will be able to say with Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day,
not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Run to Jesus in devoted service so that you will be with Jesus in eternal joy. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the modern age, everything is calculated to make our lives easier so that we don't have to work so hard and run so fast. And we thank you for these labor-saving devices, but we pray that you will enable us to take advantage of these things so that we can focus our attention more clearly on obedience, on faithfulness, evangelism, discipleship, mercy. Lord, forgive us for the many ways in which we have slacked off and turned aside and indulged ourselves in vain pursuits. And strengthen us by your grace to regroup, refocus, unload sin and foolishness, and fix our eyes on Jesus and his righteousness, and run to him with all our strength. Lord, enable us over the next 2 years, and also through whatever years you give us, to run speedily to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.